All right. I so appreciate the Sharp family. Hosek, have you bought your wife a gift yet for Christmas? All right. Next week, I'm going to check back with you, man. Right? She's expecting big things, my friend. All right. So in December, we've been doing this since I've been here. We select a gift for somebody every Sunday in December. And so I'm excited about this. I'm going to get, Come here, Zoe. I'm going to get Zoe to pick a name. If I have a ticket, if you don't have a ticket, raise your hand and we'll get somebody to bring one to you. Okay. Come on, Zoe. All right. Okay. Last four digits, five, wait. Okay, six. 6426. 6426. Yes, Mark. Yeah. Come on, Mark. All right, Mark, you know the drill. You got to open it up here. Let's see what you got, man. Come on over here. Bend that up. Okay, so this is, and I was over at the Markham's house not long ago, and they had throw burrito. And so it's some kind of game where you throw burritos at each other. And so, hey, enjoy. Pummel your son with a burrito this week, okay? Ooh. It's going to be a good month. We're in a new series called A Weary World Rejoices. How many of you need some joy and some rejoicing? Let me ask you a question. Have you ever felt like I just need encouragement right now, or I just need to know that there's brighter days ahead? You ever felt that way? Or I need someone or something to lift me up right now because I need some lifting up? Well, get ready for this month, because this whole month is filled with a lot of that. You might find yourself saying things like, I just need to get out of my head so I can move forward and move on. And God wants that for you too. He wants to encourage you. I read a story, it's a true story, of a musician at Starbucks in Manhattan one December. And he was playing pop Christian songs or Christmas songs at the Starbucks. And during one of his songs, he looked over and he noticed that this woman was swaying back and forth, singing her heart out. And so after the song was finished, the musician felt compelled to ask the woman if she would like to sing the next song. And so she accepted the invitation and she just asked him, do you know any hymns? And he says, well, why don't you pick one? And she goes, no, you can just play a hymn. I'll know it. And so he did. And he says, do you know the song, His Eye is on a Sparrow? And she looked down and just quietly said, I would like that. The instrument began to play and she began to sing, Why should I be discouraged? Why should the shadow come? And the audience of the coffee drinkers, they were all in awe. The employees behind the coffee bar stopped working, and she continued to sing with tears running down her face. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. The coffee shop erupted in applause, and the musician said, the only thing I could do is just run over to this precious woman and give her a hug. And with a soft voice, the woman wiped away her tears and she told the coffee crowd that was my daughter's favorite song. I used to sing it to her right before she went to bed. She died of a brain tumor last week. She was only 16. There wasn't a dry eye in the room, just kind of like this, right? There wasn't a dry eye in the room. People rushed to her side to console her and encourage her. And the musician said that Starbucks on 51st Street and Broadway became a place of comfort, a healing place that night, and I just kept playing hymns. She needed encouragement. That song, those people, that night, it was a bright light for her in a time of darkness. And over the next 4 weeks, we're going to examine the birth of Christ sort of at a different angle, in a different way. And when Jesus was born, lots of powerful things were born. And lots of powerful truths were opened up and revealed to mankind. And so I guess you could say when he came, he brought lots of gifts. He brought lots of gifts to us. He brought love to comfort us. He brought truth to guide us. He brought things like hope to encourage us and peace. And he brought his Spirit to empower us. Many things. Lots and lots of things. And he did this to take you from sort of a weary state to a place of rejoicing, right? To take you from a hopeless state to a place of hope, because when Christ came, he came to bring hope. Amen? And so he was born to save you, yes, to give you eternal life, but he also, don't forget this, he came to awaken you, to awaken you to a lot of things that you just didn't know before when you lived in darkness. The words he shares, the guidance that he gives, it's this endless source of comfort, and it's this endless source of encouragement, and I know that he wants that for you today. And throughout the Gospels, Jesus, he makes these statements. He makes these statements over and over again to encourage his people. And he begins these statements with this line, I came to blah, 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 right? I have come so that, and he goes on, or I come that you may have. And so what he's doing is he's explaining and expressing some of the other reasons that he came. He didn't just come to give eternal life. He came to give guidance. He came to give truth. He came to give so many more things. And so they tell us these things that he shares and these statements that he makes, they tell us many of the reasons of why he was born in this manger that Barry Wallow made the other day. We're in the Gospel of John today. If you want to turn with me to there, we're going to be in 1 John. But go to 1 John, put your finger there, and then flip over to John chapter 12. I'm going to read something for you. In John chapter 12, this is what Jesus says. John chapter 12, verse 46, you'll see it on the screen. I have come, this is one of those statements, right? I have come, and he's about to tell us why. I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me puts their faith and trust, right, in him. No one who believes in me should remain, right, in darkness. People need light. Light is energy. Science defines light as luminous energy, radiant energy, electromagnetic energy. Light is moving at a speed of 186,282 miles per second. That's almost as fast as Cooper Holthauser drove to church this morning, okay? So light is a wave, and it's moving at 186,000 miles a second. And this wave of light, when it hits your eye, because it travels. Listen to me. And when it hits your eye and when it hits your retina, when it does that, it makes things visible. And it illuminates things. It hits sort of like a prism in your eye and splits things into color so you can see color. I have a friend who is colorblind, and he doesn't have that prism, so to speak, in his eye that splits color, so he can only see sort of in a black, white, gray color. But that's what light does, and that's what gives us vision, right? And so color depends on light. And where there is light, we see, and where there is no light, we don't see. I'm going to say that again. Where there is light, we see. Where there is no light, we don't see. And so, you know, we've gone, Melanie and I have gone to some of those caverns, you know, and you go into a cavern in North Carolina or some places in South Texas. You'll go into these caverns, and the guide will shut the lights off once you get, you know, a mile underground. And when the lights go off in a cavern, it's pitch black. You can't even see your hand in front of your face, okay? But you know, when there's just a little bit of, when there's darkness, but you can still see things moving, the only reason you can see things moving is lights coming from somewhere. Otherwise, things are pitch black. And so what happens is light cannot suffocate, and or darkness cannot suffocate light. Light always overtakes darkness. Light always overtakes darkness. And so if you see anything in the dark, or if you see something in the dark, that means some kind of light is coming in. And I like one scientist, he puts it like this. Light cannot be comprehended as to the source from which it draws its velocity and its very existence. See, the scientist doesn't know the source, but we know the source. We know the source. The velocity of the light is incomprehensible. It's going so fast. It's traveling so fast. And so listen, when you think about light, when you see light, you're actually experiencing something just like when you see physical light. So when you see light, you're experiencing something that is directly related to Jesus Christ. And so what you're doing is when you look at lights, for example, the lights on this tree or the lights across the stage, it's giving you an indication, it's giving you a hint about what it means when Scripture talks about Jesus coming into the world as light. It just gives you an indication of what this means. And before he came, before Christ came, it says that the world was in darkness. And it wasn't physical darkness. They still had the sun outside. But the world was in darkness. And the prophet Isaiah, hundreds of years before Jesus, he's prophesying about the coming of the Messiah, that Jesus would come, and he's talking about his coming hundreds of years before he actually came. So God gives them these words, and the prophet Isaiah writes this, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." So at the coming of Jesus is the coming of this light. And so we're in John chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 1. And John's gospel, it starts the Jesus story a lot different than the other gospels. So there's four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Gospels means good news. It's the good news about Jesus, the person and works of Christ, the description of the person and works of Christ. And so the first three gospels are the synoptic gospels, right? Synoptic just means similar. They're similar in how they share the story of Jesus. But there's one gospel that's not synoptic, and that's John. That's where we are today. And John doesn't start off with a child in a barn. His story doesn't start off that way. As a matter of fact, John's account is pre-incarnate. And so in other words, it happens before Jesus takes on flesh. And it's describing Jesus before he comes to earth and takes on flesh. And this is before the angel Mary, or the angel tells Mary, you are to give him the name Jesus. So this is before his name Jesus. John gives him the name Word. That's what he gives him, the name Word. In the beginning, verse 1, was the Word. Notice it's capital. It's a capital letter, okay? And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The term Word here is a Greek word. It's logos. It's where we get the word logo, right? And so this term, this is something scholars have analyzed and dissected for years. It's just such a profound term. But just to simplify it, it was a Greek word back in the day, and the Greeks used it to describe divine reasoning or divine authority, and that's how the Greeks would use it. But John is using it to describe Jesus, and he's using it to describe him. He is the Word. He is the revelation of God. He is the revealed Word of God in flesh. Get it? And so it says this, he was in the beginning, verse 2, with God. All things were made through him, talking about Jesus, and without him was not anything made that was made. And so apart from Jesus, there is no creative, there is no world, there is no universe, there is no creation. All things were made through him. So the creating of things came through Christ, through Jesus, and without him, there was nothing, not anything made that was made. So in other words, Jesus was essential to the creation of all things. And all things were made, it says, through him. He was there in the beginning. You'll notice in Genesis chapter 1, do you remember how that begins? In the beginning, right? John's starting Genesis chapter 1, maybe he's really reflecting on that during this time, or God's giving him this impression. But it in Genesis chapter 1, it's interesting. I'm going to read it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. The darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering. Verse 3, and God said, this is God, the spoken word, and so God's spoken word is the creative spoken word. He speaks and creates. Not like us. We have to put our hands to things. He just speaks them into existence. And so God said, let there be light. And so this is the first thing that he turns on. He turns on the light, right? So let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. Isn't it interesting that physical light is the first thing that we see him speak into existence? I mean, there was waters and things, but he speaks, and then this light comes. Isn't that interesting? If there is no light, you can't see. You are blind. So imagine all of us being blind, okay? Imagine all the things that we would not do if every human being was blind and we're just kind of searching around. It's a miraculous thing that God gave us light so that we can see. And don't forget how significant that is. And let me, I don't want to go down too far of a rabbit trail, but let me just throw this at you. How in the world could eyesight be a fluke, something that happens by happenstance? Only God, only a designer could ever design something so complicated, so complex. And so we need a physical light source that doesn't burn out. And so we have this sun that doesn't burn out. It just keeps going and going and going. So here's what it says in verse 4 of John. It says, in him, speaking of Jesus, was life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So in him, in Jesus, was life. He is the source of life, right? We find true life in him. And so from the beginning of John here, it says he is the Word, because in him, in and through him, God speaks. And so he is the Word. He is the life, because through God and through him, God gives you life. And then, watch this, he is the light, because by him, everything spiritual is illuminated. Everything spiritual comes into sight. And so Genesis chapter 1, God brought physical light. The birth of Jesus, God brought spiritual light. Look at verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And then he mentions John the Baptist. You remember John the Baptist? We talked about him this summer when we were going through the Gospel of Matthew. John the Baptist came. He was a forerunner to Jesus. He came to prepare the way. So he was an instrument of God to prepare people's hearts for the coming of the Messiah, Jesus, okay? And so he would go around and he would just say, repent. In other words, turn away from your sin and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so his message was for all the people to repent and to turn. And so here's what he says about John the Baptist in verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John the Baptist. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He, John, was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. And he goes on, verse 9. The true light, which gives light to everyone, has come into the world. So it was a light that was not there before. A true light that gives light to everyone has now come into the world. Has now come into the world. And you'll notice, if you go, I believe it's in verse 14, chapter 1, verse 14, it says, now the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And it really plays out and describes who Jesus is, that Word actually took on flesh and dwelled among man. And so you have to search in the darkness for the deeper answers to life when you are lost. And so what happens is when you have no light, what you're doing is you're roaming around in the dark, trying to answer the greater questions of life, trying to answer questions about your existence, trying to answer questions about where we came from, why we're here, what is the meaning of life, what are our boundaries, how far do we go with our decisions, right? What is our destiny? And so without Jesus, without this illuminating light, you're left to your own devices to search this dark world to find the meaning. And so I'm going to give you an example. We are in an identity crisis. Our young people, our nation, our world is in an identity crisis. And to a person who has grounding in the truth, some of the claims that are being made today seem absolutely ludicrous, okay? But they make utter sense to a person who's searching in the darkness, trying to grab anything to look for things like truth and hope and life. But when you search in the darkness, it's an endless search and you'll never be satisfied. It's an endless search. And maybe you're here today and you need hope and you need life and you need to have that kind of joy that takes you from a weary state to a place of rejoicing. Well, rejoice, because your hope has come. He was born 2,000 years ago. His name is Jesus. And he's come to open your eyes, to open your spiritual eyes. Because there was a time, and maybe all the way up to today, that you've been living in the dark spiritually. And the only world that you know is this physical world that you function in. But here's the deal. All things that are physical are controlled by all things that are spiritual. Okay? And so the physical is submitted to the spiritual. And if you are in, if you're in, you're in spiritual darkness, you're living in spiritual darkness. But if you are in the light, you will come to know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen? And so Jesus goes on with his disciples later in the book of John, and he says this, I am the light of the world. This is what Jesus says. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Will never walk in darkness. They'll have the light of life. I read a story. I looked it up. I think I shared it here 5 years ago. But it was a story of a man in Montreal, Canada. And he's 68-year-old Pierre Paul Thomas. He was blind from birth. And he took a wrong step going down the stairs one day. He fell down a very tall, steep set of stairs, and it caused him a lot of facial trauma. He actually broke both of his eye sockets when he landed at the bottom of the stairway. And so they had plastic surgeon come in, ophthalmologist come in, and a world-renowned eye surgeon came in to just kind of monitor things as they were repairing his eyes. And the world-renowned eye surgeon noticed that there was something off and there was some kind of defect. And he realized that, you know, if we just connect these two nerves to that nerve, this man might actually see. And guess what? 68-year-old Pierre, when he made it through the surgery, that first day, he just saw behind his eyelids some light peering through, and he didn't know, even know what was happening. And then the days that followed, he began to see things, and he describes the world as he began to see more and more, and he just wanted to, he wanted to run and lay his eyes on all of his family members, aunts, uncles, cousins. He was just so overwhelmed. And listen, he was in awe of the light. Because there was such an awakening to the physical that he had never seen before. And he savored everything. He savored the birds of the air, the flowers. He just wanted to sit and look and watch things. And can you imagine how long it would take? All the things that you would want to go see. If you were 68 years old and for the first time in your entire life, you went from black to complete eyesight. And so, you know, I could say that about my own life, spiritually. I went from spiritual darkness to spiritual light when I was in my 20s. And it's not something really easy to explain. I try to do this almost every Sunday. This is not something easy to explain, but there's something incredibly powerful when you go from absolute spiritual darkness to an awakening of the true and living God. And he begins to open your eyes to the truth and what is really behind things. Okay? And he gives you insight. And so it's why scripture tells us that the word is foolishness to those who are perishing. Because blind man can't see. Blind man can only keep searching around on this earth, scraping the earth, trying to find answers in the physical and visible. But then the Son of God comes in and breaks through the darkness and awakens you to real life. The life that you've been longing for and scraping for on this earth that will never satisfy. So Jesus, this is over and over and over again through the Gospels. Speaking of Jesus in the book of Matthew, it says this, people living in darkness have seen a great light. He is the light of the world. And through him and by him and only through him and only by him, a weary world rejoices. And you're going to see this up on the screen. This is the point of today's message. A weary world rejoices when it has light. When it has light. Let me ask you a question. Do you sense that something is off in your life? Do you sense that you are misstepping? Are you wondering why things are not working out? Are you wondering why? I used to wonder this. Every decision you make turns into junk, right? And you can't seem to get it right. You can't seem to stay the course because, listen, Jesus didn't come just to save you and give you eternal life. He came to awaken you and to illuminate real life. And until you come into understanding of that, and until you encounter that, life will never make sense to you. It'll never make sense to you. You'll be searching in the darkness, looking for real life. And so when the weary world finds light, they find hope. When the weary world finds light, they find a firm foundation to stand on. Scripture says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Everything that God gives, he illuminates for you to step in the right direction. He makes the crooked path straight. He gives you new life. It's not like the old life you used to live in the darkness. And it's not the events that determine your future. It's how you handle the events and how you take God's truth and you illuminate those things. And I can look back now at my past and I can look at those events of my past and I can go, this is where I went wrong. Have y'all done this before? This would drive you crazy. You don't really want to do this too long, okay? But you go, I was so dumb right there. And man, I was really stupid there. And I was really, what happened? Why would I do that? And why would I do this? The only reason you're doing that is because the truth is becoming, you're becoming more and more aware of the truth. And you're stepping more and more into the light. And everything back there looks almost foolish. How I handled raising my kids, how I handled with treating my wife, all those kinds of things, they start to make sense. If I would just do this and follow the path that God has given me, if I'll trust him and trust his light, if I will trust him. He'll make your path straight. You know, we have these signs up here on the wall, worship, grow, and serve. And it's because we're trying to make things really easy for people to get your feet on a path. And then using God's word to light the way, we're hoping that those three things really resonate with you and you step into them, right? Because we believe that they are a path that can lead you to life and light. And so, for example, worship is to ascribe high worth. Worship is an old English word, worth skype, and it means to ascribe worth. So worship is giving all value, the greatest value of your life. Nothing comes above Jesus, and nothing comes above God. Why? Because that's the only way that he will be the right kind of authority over you to give you the life that you want. If you try to get over him, right, it doesn't work out that way. And so what we do is we just try to highlight that and we go, look, worship on Sunday with the congregation and let's all of us together come under our great God and worship him. And then grow is how we put your feet on a track and help you get moving and growing in this faith. Because listen, and I did this before, it's so easy to get stagnant, to sit it out. and just think, hey, you know, I'll just go and listen to the message and the music on Sunday and just sort of sit it out the rest of the week. Look, you need to get the truth needs to get inside of you. This is how God awakens you and brings light to all the lies that you once believed. And so we say worship, then we say grow in a life group. Growing is about knowing God, and it's about knowing yourself, and it's about knowing other people. And then serving is how we the track that we put you on to start giving your life away, so you don't make this life all about you. You start giving yourself away. Well, why am I even bringing that up? Because this is how we help you step into the light, right? This is our part in helping you step into the light. That's my prayer for you. Listen, a weary world rejoices when it finds its way to the light. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. There is no life like the life that Jesus gives, and we know this. We know that everything evil hates the light. We know that the darkness hates the light. But we know when the light steps into the dark, all attention is on the light. And so, Father, we want to just lift up Jesus right now. And I pray that you will take that hungry soul in this place, who will look at the person, that one person that's looking for answers, and you'll awaken their heart, Lord. Shine the light of Christ in their heart. Lead them to a place of rejoicing, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.